Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, folks. It's Ian here with Ange. Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Yep, all good. Okay, a couple of each as ever, please, if we can. And I can see Ronnie Charters first. Ronnie.
Hi, Ange. Just a squad update first, if you would, please.
Going off last weekend, Mikey Johnson, he picked up a bit of an ankle sprain. It's nothing too serious, but it will keep him out for a little while. Everyone else got through okay. Josip Juranovic is available. He's back training. Missed the last couple of games, and that's it. I think the others, Yosuke Deguchi obviously is not registered, so he won't be available. But everyone else is okay, mate.
Just in terms of Bode Glimt, I know a club that you spoke about before and admire. I just wonder your thoughts on where they are at the moment in terms of their pre-season. Whether you think that could bring its own advantages in terms of match sharpness or whatnot for you guys to capitalise on.
Yeah, look, it's always an interesting one because, you know, there's both positives and negatives. I think the fact that they've got the same manager, they play the same way. Yes, they've lost, four players, I think, from their sort of lineup from last year, but have replaced them almost like for like in terms of the style. So I don't think, you know, sometimes in pre-season can be a bit disjointed. So I don't think that's going to happen. And what we've seen of them in the pre-season games and scouted them, they still look a very good team and it'd be a good challenge for us. Yes, we are match fit and we're in good condition. So I'm hoping that is an advantage, particularly later on in the game. But at the same time, you just got to prepare as if, they're going to be a good challenge for us and we're preparing for them to play as they did, so well in Europe earlier in the season.
Johnny, Luke Shelley.
Ange, just on that then, how impressed have you been with them in the European competition this season? Because they've had some notable victories.
Yeah, very impressed. Not just the results, because, obviously, from my perspective, I like to look at football through a little bit of a different prism and see how teams play more than anything else. And yeah, their football's fantastic, not just in Europe, but domestically as well. And, they've got a really, exciting young group of players that have bought into this style of football. And it's great to see because I think there's, often, in all leagues around the world, even here in Scotland, sometimes we talk about teams with lower budgets and playing a certain way, but you don't have to, you get the right manager in and, you get them to sort of, believe in something and work in a certain way and you can play that kind of football. I obviously coming from Australia, it's something I believe in strongly. So, impressed with their results, but more impressed in the manner in which they play their football.
Given that it's been a few months since your last European game, with new players in and players coming back, how much are you relishing this different sort of challenge?
Yeah, looking forward to it. As you say, obviously we haven't played a European game for a while, and you know, Europe gives you that opportunity to play against teams who play a little bit differently, have different approaches. When you play away from home, it's different conditions, all those kind of things. So I love those challenges. I know the players are looking forward to it. And look, European nights at Celtic Park are always special. So all those ingredients means that, you know, we're all really excited about the game. I'm sure our supporters are. I know the players are. And, you know, with the way Bodo play as well, I think it'll be a good game.
Martin, BBC.
And I think we all know the style you want to play. I just wonder, do you have to think of that at all for Europe? Because it is slightly different from the domestic game.
No, I'm not the tinkering type, mate. You know, I think people have seen our approach. You know, they saw our approach in Europe already. We played some pretty good teams. Leverkusen, what are they, third in the Bundesliga, and Batiste third in Spain. And people saw the approach we took against them. And our goal is to be a team that plays, you know, this football against all opposition. Now, that's obviously means that we need to keep improving. But I thought we saw that, you know, to be fair to our European campaign. We ended up winning three games in our group, which, you know, we didn't really struggle. I mean, we started, obviously, you know, we started a bit slowly, and particularly when we played Leverkusen here, you know, we played some good football, but also realised that at that level, you get punished for the smallest of mistakes, and it gave us a real good realisation of the difference that we needed to make in our game. But we didn't change our approach, and we won't change our approach.
I think one thing people would look at from that Europa League campaign was, yeah, you won some significant games as well, but maybe goals conceded. You're talking there about getting punished. Is that something that you have to focus on, not to allow that slackness that might come in at times?
Well, it's not, no. Well, no. I think that's kind of painting that's misrepresenting the picture of our group, because it's not slackness that concedes goals against Bayer Leverkusen. It's quality. You know, there's a big difference. And you know, like I said, we started our campaign. We lost narrowly in Spain against a team that's currently third in La Liga, above some pretty significant teams. And then we lost, obviously, 4-0 here. And through that, we realised that, A, our football we can create and score goals against good opposition, but also that our mistakes will get punished. And that mistakes, they weren't from slackness. It's just the difference in quality. But I thought, you know, we, Ferencvaros, no mugs either. We beat them home and away, and then we beat Batiste here. You know, again, we lost to Leverkusen, but we scored goals against them. So I think for us, what we saw through that, you know, that sort of group was that we definitely improved. The players gained belief, and we showed that our football, you know, can make an impact against even the very best teams.
Thanks.
Gabriel?
Hi, Ange. We just spoke to George just there. He was talking about going deep into the competition. You know, he was even saying that there's no reason why he shouldn't dream about going all the way, because you designed the squad to dream big. Is that the way you see this competition as well?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, that's what you compete for. That's why you are in these competitions. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? I mean, I'm not really sure what other sort of motivation you'd have in playing these games. I mean, I guess you could look at it as a learning curve or a progression curve or something, use them for some kind of experience. But again, I think that's wasting an opportunity that's before us. What's before us is, you know, we're in Europe, we're in the knockout stages. And, you know, if we get past a very good opponent first up, we'll get another good opponent in the next round. And you just got to tackle each opponent as it comes. But every competition is there to be won by someone. So, you know, I don't think, 16 or whatever teams left, you know, I don't think there's only five of them that think can win it.
You'll certainly be trying to progress through to the next round. Obviously, you've got your first leg at home. Is it important to seize the initiative, you know, make the most of that, the atmosphere at Celtic Park, and try and take a lead over to Norway, where, you know, it's going to be a tough atmosphere, tough conditions there as well?
Yeah, look, I think that's European competition in general. I mean, we've already experienced it. You know, we, you know, the Michelin game obviously didn't go our way, and we kind of knew in the second leg, you know, they had the advantage of extra time to score their goal because it was a tight contest. You know, we didn't take advantage here at home. We played well, but then we got a red card early on, and you know, we kind of paid a price for not getting our dominance. AZ was different, and AZ were a good side as well, and I think we performed really well here, which gave us then, you know, the opportunity to go to a difficult away game and still progress, even though we didn't win. So, you know, I think there's elements of that that you need to take advantage of, you know, what happens in this first leg. But, you know, at the same time, you always know that unless there's a blowout in score, which is probably unlikely, that, you know, the second leg is always going to be important anyway.
Ronnie Eastman.
Hi, Ange.
Hey, Ron.
You were obviously unhappy with the first 45 minutes performance at the weekend. Did you get a reaction from your players in training? Were you looking for a reaction from them?
Yeah, look, I think I got a reaction in the second half as well. And it wasn't a kind of reaction from me. It was just more, I think the players themselves were a little bit frustrated and disappointed that, you know, that's not the way we want to play our football. So, you know, we did our review. We gave feedback to the players. We showed them, you know, the areas that, you know, we didn't maintain our standards in. And, you know, they clearly understand that. I think they probably felt that. I think probably, you know, the thing that I got frustrated about in the first half was that the players already know these things. They could have addressed them themselves. And it's about, you know, I really want them to take ownership of that. You know, they shouldn't wait for me to come in at halftime to address stuff that's, you know, pretty evident that we need to do better. They can address those things out there themselves. And I want them to be a team that you know, takes ownership of our performances while they're out there. So, but yeah, our training's been great. You know, to be fair, it's been great for quite a while. We've had an extra day here. So obviously having, you know, most of the squad fit now and available, competition for places, you know, training's, you know, it's probably the best level it's been all year, which is pleasing for me, because it means that, you know, if we can maintain that kind of sharpness, then having that, you know, a sort of flat first half like we did on the weekend hopefully becomes, you know, less likely outcome.
The Bodo coach this morning was saying he hopes his players get energy from the Celtic Park crowd tomorrow night. Can you tell us a bit about the benefit your players will get from a packed house at Celtic Park?
Well, yeah, we've already seen it. You know, we saw it in the derby. We've seen it in other European nights. Our supporters and how our players respond to that. They're a major part of, you know, the atmosphere created, obviously, at Celtic Park. More importantly, you know, they play a real role in providing energy for intensity for our players. Our players love it, you know, and they know that, you know, European night for some of them will be their first experience at it. But the ones who've had the experiences already, they know it's, you know, having the crowd behind them, the whole spectacle is going to be special. And, you know, that hopefully helps us to play at a really good level.
Thank you.
Cheryl?
Hi, Ange. You just mentioned it slightly there about the more experienced players helping the ones who haven't experienced European football. Is that the type of game, for example, Joe Hart, he seems to really have taken on that type of role, where he can really play his part?
Yeah, I think so. Having said that, I think, you know, what I've tried to sort of, you know, impress upon the players is that, you know, they can all play their role in that. It doesn't, you know, sometimes when you just sort of fall back on, well, you know, he's the experienced guy, he'll do it. Well, you know, Joe sometimes is not involved in our games a lot, so he can't be the influence. So then it's up to other players to take that. And you know, obviously with Cal and others. But as I've always said, the guys, leadership can be shown in many ways. It can be shown by the youngest player in the team if they, you know, make an action or do something that inspires the rest. So it's about everybody taking ownership of it. I mean, we saw that again in the derby. We had, you know, two or three players making their debuts, and, you know, they lifted the team themselves. But, you know, certainly I think in the build-up, the experienced guys like Joe and Cal and Tommy Rogic, these kind of guys, Nero, Biton, they can help in sort of making sure that everyone's mindset's good. But once the game starts, you know, we need 11 leaders out there. We need 11 guys who are going to want to make an impact.
The Bodo Glimt, they had some impressive results in their group, but none of them, they didn't get any away wins. Is that something that plays into your mind as well?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, getting an away win in Europe's not easy, even for the best teams. You know, it's part of the challenge of Europe. You know that going away from home is difficult because not only you're facing opposition fans with different conditions, different, you know, different pitch, different everything's, you know, everything's a little bit of a challenge. So it's not easy. The fact that they didn't lose away from home is probably more significant, shows that they've got a really strong mentality, strong character within their team. So, you know, from our perspective, like I said, we're preparing to play a very good side and one that's, you know, probably got a lot of confidence from their sort of European exploits so far.
Andrew Milne. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Ange.
Hi, Andrew.
Ange, we've seen, you know, the atmosphere of Celtic Park on these big European nights, the place is bouncing and the players, not just your team, but previous managers, the teams always responded to the crowd, and home and away this season in the league, you know, the support has been amazing. But do you think on Sunday with the stadium only half full that it did affect the players in the first half?
Look, potentially good, but again, it's one of those things that I want to try and eliminate, you know, a bit like, you know, refereeing decisions or our schedule or injuries. It's just all these things you can sort of use as a clutch for not doing certain things. But I think the things I was talking about on Sunday in the first half should be givens irrespective, you know, even if we're, you know, if we're playing in a local park just amongst ourselves, that bringing that right intent, the work ethic, that bravery and courage that I want in our football, we shouldn't have to rely on our crowd to create an atmosphere that brings that, you know, that should happen. Because sometimes, you know what, in a derby game, maybe it's easy to do all those things because the crowd's behind you, everyone's up for it. Well, that's not what the best teams do or the best players do. They bring it every time, irrespective of the conditions. So I'm reluctant and I won't make allowances. And I did make allowances for our performance in the first half just because, you know, maybe the atmosphere wasn't at levels we've experienced before. That to me is no excuse.
Yeah, and Andrew, you've built almost a brand new squad of players with only a few from the last manager's time. But on Sunday, when times were a little difficult and you were frustrated in the first half, but at one stage you were about to take Callum off the bench. So, like, how important is to have Callum and maybe one or two other players who have been here before and have been here for a long time? How is important to have them when the going gets tough?
Yeah, it's important because, you know, Callum and you know, some of the others, like I said, there's not many, but who have been here, understand the relentlessness of this club. You know, sometimes when you're a new player and if it's your first year, even if you've been here 4 or 5 months, you know, you're kind of, you can fall into the trap of just thinking that, you know, this game we can just maybe coast through, or this game, you know, isn't, like you said, because maybe the atmosphere is not right or the opponent or the pitch or whatever. We don't have to be at our best, but you can't at this football club, because what we know is that anything less than a victory in any game, in any competition, and any weekend is not acceptable. So there's a relentlessness there that the players, new players, need to get used to. That never changes. And that goes not just from game to game or through the season. That goes from season to season. You know, last year's success it doesn't guarantee you anything the following year. You know, you've got to roll up the next year and outperform those levels again. That's part of this football club. So Callum understands that. You know, he knows that. He's lived and breathed it for the last few years. And what you hope develops is this insatiable quest and thirst for continued success, you know, and excellence. And sometimes that's better sort of explained by people who have lived it longer. And Callum is certainly one of those.
Thanks, Ange, and thanks for the journey so far.
Appreciate it. Thanks, you.
Hamish.
Hi, Ange. Last week we spoke to your former captain at Brisbane Roar, Matt Smith. He described
Matty playing... Smith. How's Matty Smith?
He's a good guy. He's a hell of a nice guy.
He's a good guy. He is. Too nice to be a centre-back, let me tell you. He's a nice guy.
He described playing out from the back under you as being, quote, petrifying until it became normal. You've obviously spoken a fair bit, I think, about not liking the feeling of being comfortable and your players not really wanting them to feel comfortable. Are there benefits to you in putting players out of their comfort zone and the players improve more as a result?
I think it's the only way you improve. I mean, I'm constantly on at the players about that, you know, sometimes, you know, people will say, well, that was a perfect training session. No one made a mistake. That kind of sends a signal to me that maybe the training session wasn't challenging enough, you know. You know, I'm constantly talking about players not being in their comfort zones because comfort means you're doing something not automatically, but something that is not really testing you, you know. That's why I'm constantly talking about improvement of us as a team. When people say, well, you know, how much improvement is there in the team? So, well, there's always improvement because once I see that players have got to a level where they can do something or excel in something, then my job is to test them again and make them uncomfortable. And, you know, when you're uncomfortable and you make mistakes, it probably means if you persevere and, you know, hopefully we provide an environment where we give them the tools to eradicate those mistakes, then you improve. But there's no point in me saying, well, you know, we've been really good at playing out from the back, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. No, well, there's other layers to it. And, you know, for us, you saw that on the weekend is, yeah, we had possession, we had comfortable possession, but it wasn't the possession we want to have as a team. You know, we want to, so that means for players, I'm almost forcing them into making mistakes. And the reality, no one likes making mistakes because when you make a mistake, then there's repercussions. And what I'm trying to show them is that, you know, provided they're trying to do the right things, there won't be any repercussions from me anyway. But that's how I think you get improvement.
And just secondly, I think it's pretty well known that you like to keep your distance a little bit from the players. You don't go in the dressing room too much before matches. What are the benefits of that approach for Celtic? Is it to create leadership naturally? Is it more discipline?
It's just me, mate. You know, it's just, I've always said that you've just got to be yourself. And you know, even when I talk to young coaches, young managers, don't try and copy anyone else. Don't try and do what I do. This is just a natural fit for me. And I think the dressing room is just my belief. That's the players' domain. It's the players' area. They should be in charge. They should feel comfortable in there. They shouldn't have a, you know, 55 or 56-year-old cranky guy walking around telling them that they, you know, should pick their rubbish up or change the music on their, that they're playing. So it's about giving them their space. They're preparing for a game. I don't want to get in the way. I've done my bit during the week. My role then on game days to do other things and even during the week. So that's just me. And like I said, it suits my personality. I've said before that most important thing I do on a daily basis is make decisions. If we're going to be successful, I'm going to get more decisions right than wrong. The best way to do that is to get as much information as possible, but to also remain as objective as you possibly can. And every player in there and every staff member knows that I treat them equally with the same respect, have the same care and love for them all. There are no favourites. So they understand that. And that allows me then to make decisions that I think are best for the football club and best for us moving forward.
Great. I'll tell Smithy you're asking after him.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Hamish. Christopher from Norway, would you like a question?
Yes, please. Hello, Ange. Two questions. First of all, Kjetil Knutsen, the Bodø/Glimt manager, said earlier today that he thinks Celtic and Bodø/Glimt are quite similar teams in how they play and was very impressed of the job that you and your team have done at Celtic. Can I ask you, how impressed are you of the job that Kjetil Knutsen and his team has done at Bodø/Glimt? Do you know anything about it?
Oh, yeah, I know about it. Don't worry about that. It's my job to know and others around here. No, look, as I said before, there is a similarity. You know, every team sort of has its own version of different things, but there is a similarity in that, you know, they want to be an aggressive team. They're a proactive team. They're a team that likes to dominate games and there are similarities with the approaches and in that sense, you know, it's good to see. Like I said, the thing I... I'm very impressed with the job he's done, and what I like and what I hope people pick up on is that, you know, as I said, I come from a country, Australia, very similar, where, you know, you have to work with limited budgets and small clubs, and there's always, I've always sort of, you know, rallied against this notion that because of that you can't play, you know, exciting or attacking football. And I know it's not true. I've lived that experience, and, you know, what he's done at Bodo shows you that. You know, it's a city of what, 50,000 people. You know, it's not got a big budget. It doesn't mean you have to play a certain type of football just because you are that. You know, you can be a small club with a small budget. Small club and small budget, small club in the sense of resources, not in the sense of stature, and play the football that they are, you know. And I'm not saying everyone does, but I just get annoyed when I hear, you know, clubs or coaches say, well, you know, if I was at a bigger club, I'd play this kind of football if I had better players. Well, to be honest, it's up to you as the coach to do it. And you know, I think Bodo are another example of that.
Thank you. And secondly, after the Rome game, Jose Mourinho said that the winger Ola Solbakken was riding motorcycles while his players were riding bicycles. Is Ola Solbakken a player you fear tomorrow or especially aware of? Or are there any other players that you're especially aware of?
No. He's a talented player. And I think what's evident when you watch them play is, like I said, where the similarities with are, it's with us, is it's more about the collective rather than individuals. And it's why I think they'll still be strong, even though they've lost some significant players. I still think they'll be a strong team because their approach really relies on a collective effort. It's not about one or two individuals. You know, they press aggressively together as a team. They attack as a team. They defend as a team. And I think from our perspective, that's what we've got to make sure we do, because we're a similar side. You know, we've obviously got some fantastic individuals within our group, but our best football is played when we play as a collective, as a unit. And, you know, that's where I think tomorrow night for us, that's going to be the most important thing, is that, you know, if we put in a massive collective effort, then the individuals within the opposition, we can nullify, you know.
Okay, thanks, Christopher. And I think we're done. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
And
cheers. Thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.